really aren't that bad. But anyway, I am absolutely so happy that Chris came up here to speak. You all are really in for a treat. Chris, come on up.
I ought to just say, you know, you might be right, and sit down. That's what I ought to do. My name is Chris Kramer. I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic. And I hate to make people uncomfortable. And if I could change one thing in my life, it would be it. Hate it. I'm so sick of being the bad guy to puke. But a bunch of y'all won't be the bad guy, so I'm going to step up to the plate. Just celebrated 20 years of sobriety. It's pretty cool. I didn't think I could get 20 minutes. It took me 7 years to finally get a 30-day chip. 7 years in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's where I come from. That's where I stay a little on edge about this, because as I know this works, you know, you realize that you could travel all around the world and end up in a room and never see that many big books in one spot. You know, the big pile of big books back here. I said, oh my God, you know, there's little areas of us that are thumbing the book, that are doing the work. And it's like those are the groups that I end up speaking in. So it's like everybody thinks I'm preaching to the choir. You know, the truth of the matter is I don't take the heat as much as I used to. I don't cuss from the podium as much as I used to, which is, I just think, stupid. I made a night. And I want to start this by saying the same as I've been saying for the last few years, so that I don't end up in hot water with somebody. You want to do this any way you want to, that's your business. That's your business. You want to kill people with your stupid opinion? Rock on. You want to do this any way you want, listen to all the little stupid one-liners and take them out of context and kill people with ineffectual, sad, weak sponsorship? Bop to you, drop. Because I'm not going to argue with you. Just not. Done. I'm here to share my experience with you. And I hope I get a chance to do that. I'm watching that clock closer than you are, folks. So I know you guys have been slamming that coffee since I sat down here. You know, the bathrooms are back here, supposedly. But you can't get up while I'm speaking, so just you're going to be so uncomfortable. So I'm going to go real fast. I got to thank Chris for letting me do this and allowing us to fit this in. I got to tell you, some of y'all that are members of this group don't know that, but you paid for Patty to come too. My wife is here, and I am so appreciative. I've got family on her side that I hadn't seen since we got married up here, and Kat and Jeff are here, and I don't know, we got Charlie. But I got this room is full of buddies that I know, and I so appreciate y'all letting us come do this. It's pretty cool. I'm not going to read all this, but there was some stuff in here I wanted to show you, and if I get time, I may get a chance to do that. If somebody comes into these rooms and they know what the solution is and they just don't want to do it, I'm as cool with that as I can be. You know, we're not going to jam this down anybody's throat. If somebody's got a problem with God and they just want to hang around the periphery because they don't want to get involved, because they just don't like it, that's their right to do that. If they understand the rules and they don't want to follow the rules, that's their business. If they come into the rooms, though, and they don't know the rules, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know what this is about, I feel an unbelievable responsibility to make sure that they hear the rules. No matter if I have to get in their face to get their attention about it. You'll follow? The message, my little brother alluded to it earlier when he was talking. I mean, just there's so many people out there that are walking on eggshells, worried about hurting somebody's feelings. I don't mind watching you die, but I'm not going to offend you by telling you the truth. So, I mean, the nature of alcoholism and those other things, drug addiction, is that we have this illness that blocks us from reality. When I'm in it, I can't see the truth. And I have these little moments, these little glimpses where I think, oh my gosh, I need to do something. I need to get well. And these little moments of clarity is what usually brings us into the rooms. And then we're uncomfortable because we just got here. We don't know the questions to ask. But the cats in the room, if you happen to end up in the wrong room, will not see that. They will not take that opportunity to explain what the solution is. Alcoholism, you don't mind if I take this off, do you? It's the first time I've been warm all day. I gotta tell you guys, I love Yankee Land. The North is beautiful. I'm gonna tell you, New Jersey is prettier than Texas. I'm gonna say it from the podium. You can send it out and into the airway. New Jersey is prettier than Texas. Women are drop dead gorgeous. The people are as nice as any place I've ever been on the face of the earth. I gotta tell you, the only thing that we got you beat with hands down in Texas is, buddy, we're warmer. A lot warmer. You guys come on down. I mean, golly. I hear that crap all the time too. We know how to dress in it. No. You can't put on that many clothes. It's just freezing out there. I don't know what to tell you. I work at a treatment center. I do clerical work for a hospital and have been fortunate to work at this place for a long period of time. And I watch a lot of people come into this fellowship. And I watch a lot of people come in and become very disappointed and very disillusioned when they find out that our hospital is all about the 12 steps in God. You know, they're just so crazy. Oh, dang. For this big chunk of change, I thought we were going to do something different. You know, and just we're not. But what they're going to do is guys, here's the deal. They're going to get an adequate presentation of what the fellowships are all about. At the hospital where I work. And I know there's other places that do that too. When did it become okay not to tell newcomers how this all worked? When did we get so far off the page that you could come into a meeting and spend months and months and months there and not understand that the way to recovery was a thing called a spiritual experience? I mean, this is BS. And that's my story. 7 years in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was in the food business and in and out, I was pretty successful. I was like a functioning alcoholic. I want to tell you guys, you look around this room, we got lots of different kinds of alcoholics in here. And the book talks about it over and over. There's different varieties of us. But it all stems from, kind of hooks onto this little thing called the progressiveness of this disease. And some of us, the disease progressed quite far, and some of us have just recently. It's really frustrating when you talk to a 19-year-old kid that's dying of alcoholism and try to explain to him about alcoholism by using your war stories. That is ineffectual. That is stupid waste of time. Trying to scare people into recovery with your stupid war stories. This is where I catch the bad rap from the podium because people hear me. What did you hear me just say? That your war stories are not important. I'm not saying that. I'm saying in a meeting, it's pointless and stupid. The cats are here. Ask any young adult. I stayed because Chris Raymond talked about eating out of dumpsters and I didn't want to eat out of dumpsters, so I'd never. No. Ever. Ever. And some of you are already grinding your teeth. Our stories are all we have. Shame on you. If you think your story is all you have, you're worthless. go join Rotary Club. They'll be fascinated with your stories, I guarantee you. At the next breakfast social, you can get up and wow them about crawling in those dumpsters. But I'm telling you guys, in AA meeting, we all know how to do that. We all know how to make asses of ourselves and do goofy things. We don't need to share that in meetings. What we need to share in meetings is the information that's in those 164 pages of that big book. We need to talk about the spiritual experience and the guaranteed change of life that's going to come as a result of doing this work. That's what we need to talk about. Now, that's what they talked about in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous. The history books are full of it. But we don't do it now because we've evolved. I wonder, if that has something to do with our poor success rates in Alcoholics Anonymous. If anybody in here is questioning that, please come see me after that. We can discuss that until the cows come up if you want. You can call AA World Service. They'll tell you right now. Our success rates today suck. We've got about 8% success rate in the United States. That's terrible. Second edition of the big book said we had a 75% success rate. Well, what did we know in 1955 that we don't know now? That there's one solution. One solution. And it's not the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you can get sober on the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, you're not an alcoholic. I'm never going to stop saying that from the podium. I don't care how irritated it makes you. If you can come to a few meetings and stay sober, I don't know what to tell you. There's two things going on. Either you're not one of us or your disease hasn't progressed that far. Here's my grinder. The disease will progress. When I stop drinking, the disease won't stop progressing, guys. It continues to progress. If I started drinking, my disease wouldn't pick up where I left off 20 years ago. It would kick my butt. We see these guys coming back into this hospital. Oh my God, guys. Well, I've been working at that hospital for about 14 years. And back in the day, when I first started out there, we very seldom got any old geezers back in there. Cats that had some sobriety and lost it. This was all new sobriety. And I got to tell you, a full nearly 50% of the patients that are in that hospital right now have had two or three or more years of sobriety and have lost it. And they are like deer in a headlight. They are so disillusioned. Because what worked back then, meeting makers make it, ain't working now. Meeting makers don't make it, folks. Not for the real alcoholic. If that was the case, Bill Wilson would have wrote it in here. And go to as many meetings as you can. Unbelievable. Y'all with us on that one? It's just like, come on, guys. I'm sitting in these meetings, listening to these stupid war stories until the cows come home, and I'm checking myself out. You know, I put the plug in the old jug, and I'll stay sober for a couple of days, and I'll detox good, you know. But my disease has progressed to such a spot that I'm not experiencing a lot of the drama that y'all are experiencing. I'm not going to jail. I'm not robbing liquor stores. I'm not hooking on the street. I'm not dealing dope. And I make it a mental note and I walk out and say, that's not me. And buy another quart of beer and start the process all over again. You'll follow? Guys, I'm not knocking it from the podium. Rick did exactly what he's supposed to do. From the podium. I am too. I'm going to share some stories. This is what we do from the podium. I want to let you know a little bit of what it was like. But guys, in the meetings, we've got to stop using that as a tool to get people in these rooms. The book says we're supposed to pull people with a vision. How can we do that? We're just telling war stories. We can't. That's why we can't keep the young adults in our meetings, because we're too busy trying to scare them in here. And the rest of the people we can't keep in, because we're too busy trying to fix their life. We've got to stop using our meetings as a dumping ground for problems. Oh my God, I know. That's probably the most controversial thing I've ever said from the podium. It's still to this day the number one thing I get emails about. If I can't go to a meeting and share my stuff, where can I go? How about my living room? How about Denny's? How about the parking lot? Here's one for you. How about your therapist's office? Hey! How about your lawyer's office? How about your doctor's office? You're with it? How about finding a professional? You think it's your right to come into a meeting and share anything you want about your day? Shame on you. You got a guy in the back that just, all he's trying to do is not drink today. Are we ever going to get around to showing how to not do that? No. Because tomorrow you're going to come back and talk to me about your weed eater one more time. Guys, we've gotten off the page. Bill Wilson said it early on. We set aside one night a week for the newcomer to bring their problems. I think that's a great idea. A stellar idea. How about one night a week we do that? And then the rest of the night, let's talk about the literature. Let's talk about the 12 steps. Let's talk about how to have a spiritual experience. How cool from the podium to talk about a 4th step. You'll follow? Let's show somebody how to make amends. Instead of talking about a divorce. I've got to say this. I'm a huge tradition fan, and I understand why we do it in our fellowship, and I understand singleness of purpose. I've said it 1,000 times every time I speak. If you've heard me a tape of mine, you know exactly where I'm going with this. If the traditions tell us that we have a singleness of purpose and that we're supposed to be here talking about our problems with alcohol, then why is it okay for you to talk about your stupid divorce one more time? Answer me the question. What has that got to do with a young adult sitting in the back that's dying of alcoholism? We don't want to hear about your crap. We're not interested. That's not what this is about. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, as I take both gloves completely off. I said I wasn't gonna, I'm gonna. We're being made of I got to do another talk after this one. We're going to talk about it some more. We're being made a laughing stock out there. There was a day in Alcoholics Anonymous when we were loved and respected and revered. And today we're a punchline in every stupid joke out there in Hollywood. Because people continue to use these meetings as dumping grounds for their problems. Please don't misunderstand. The fellowship is huge in room meeting. I talk to people in the fellowship about stuff that's going on in my life every day. You with me? But when I come into a meeting, I'm pretty damn focused about what I'm going to do. And I'm going to talk about the 164 pages and how to allow somebody to have a spiritual experience. In 1987, I can't get sober because all we're doing is talking about your problems. Sometimes I'm talking about my problems. Good Lord, I wonder how many people I killed dominating the meeting talking about her one more time or the job or this or that and the other. In 1987, I'm coming apart. I am so crazy. It's one of those things I've just never been able to explain. How do you explain crazy? I mean, really. I just don't have the... I'm suffering from alcoholism. I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous for 7 years. I've been in and out of treatment. I'm in therapy for 10 years. But if you asked me what it was to be an alcoholic, I couldn't tell you. You with us? I do the same thing we watch therapists everywhere do. People in our industry, in the treatment center industry do. Guy will come in like that and say, well, I'm an alcoholic. And he says, you're right. You're suffering from alcoholism. That's a disease. And you're not a bad person. You're a sick person. And you understand that. You're powerless over alcohol. And the little guy gets a little tear in his eyes. Damn, nobody ever explained it. I have a disease. I'm an alcoholic. I have alcoholism. You with us? Then you go to group and they say, so why do you drink? Because I'm an alcoholic? Yeah, I know that. But why do you drink? You with me? Some of you are nodding your head. Some of you are looking like deer in a head. Like, what? What's he talking about? That's exactly what we do. We complicate it. If we're driving down the street and the guy's out there on this field naked, barking at the moon, the guy's driving and says, oh, don't worry about him. He's crazy. And so you with us? Oh, that's why he's barking at the moon. And so every time you drive by, you don't have to say, I wonder why that guy's barking at the moon. You go, hey, he's just crazy. It's just getting, you with us? It's the same thing. But we're alcoholics. You with us? But every time we turn around, somebody's asking us why we drink. Every one of your family members, guys, there's a bunch of family in here. They're going to say, yeah, I want to know the answer to that. Because they're going and they're wondering why we drink. They're not buying the alcoholism defense any more than the man in the moon. Too bad. Why should they? They go to the open discussion meetings with us and listen to us talk about everything under the sun except that disease. You with us? He can't stay sober because he's in a bad relationship. So they leave thinking, oh, it's all about a bad relationship. Can't stay sober because he doesn't have this or he doesn't have that. We confuse the issue. Y'all follow? Guys, I'm an alcoholic. My outside world exacerbates the problem. My outside world has affected my drinking, but it didn't cause my drinking. If my outside world is what's causing me to drink, I just need a good therapist. Move to Texas. Good heavens. Nobody drinks in Texas. I'm in 1987. I'm in this little apartment, and I'm drinking myself to death. And I'm still not going to jail. I'm not robbing liquor stores. I've had an EWI, but I've been a good boy. And which means I didn't show up at the probation guy that drunk. Oh my gosh. And I pick up a stack of return checks in the mail. And finances have always been a big deal with me. And I've made lots of money at times. But I'm not a very good steward with God's money. And so I end up always in the hole. Like some of you all in here, been sober a long time, in debt. That's called spiritual malady. And you'd be the first to break that to your attention. And irritable, restless, and discontent does not stop because I stop drinking. Y'all understand that? Trying to spin myself, trying to bait myself into a happy spot does not stop because I've stopped drinking. The people out there that don't understand this disease believe that when I lay the alcohol and the dope down, when I put the alcohol away, that I get better. I don't. And that's why people don't stay sober. And they're so disillusioned. I've done that so many times, it's not even funny. I quit drinking a million times. And I always start it again. The mental blank spot that the book talks about always sneaks up and grabs me in the butt. And my head always says, it's just historic with me. You know, I'm not going to drink anymore. My head will say, you can smoke a joint. There were some times it was like, it's not dope, it's medication. It's the pills, you know, something. But see, well, why am I jockeying for my position to eat a pill or smoke pot? It's because I need something to make me feel okay inside, because I'm not, because I'm weeks away from the alcohol. You follow? But see, nobody can explain that to me. And then when I go back to the therapist's office, they want to try to explain why I put the alcohol and dope in my body. You follow? You got that promotion at work, didn't you? Uh-huh. Things got too good, didn't you? Uh-huh. Well, we need to talk about success today. Oh, Lord, help us. Okay. I got up from the floor of that little apartment and went to the medicine cabinet, got some pills, and tried to commit suicide that night. Stupid coward's way out. I've said it from a million podiums, and I'll never back off that. I'm not romanticizing suicide. Suicide is selfishness and self-centeredness on steroids. Can y'all get down to that? The book on page 62 says selfish and self-centeredness is the root of my problems. And people want to somehow think that that's not the most selfish thing you can possibly do in the world. Just get off yourself and let somebody else clean up the mess. Nothing in me wanted to die, folks, but I just didn't want to feel the way I was feeling anymore. And that's just, a lot of us are shaking our heads in here because a lot of us have been taken to that spot. You were so succinct when you were talking about our families think that we just don't know what we're doing anytime, ever, you know. But I have these moments of clarity when I look myself in the mirror and it says, oh, how pathetic is this? You know, I mean, I am not the person that my father raised. I did not intend to become this whatever I am. I mean, you think I'm rough looking now, you should have seen me 20 years ago, guys. I'm telling you, this big old gut hanging out here and a hair down to here and a big full beard and a patch is perpetually crooked. I don't know. They don't know if it's a patch or an earmuff. You know? And it's like you responded, and I'm constantly on the defensive. You know, you're laughing. Yeah, I know you're laughing at me. You know, I'm checking my zip. It's all about me. I'm so, jeez. And I don't want to be like this. And I want to be a good employer and a good employee, and I can't be. I want to pay my bills. I want people to look up to me. I don't want to have to stand in front of a mirror and do stupid positive affirmations and tell myself what a good boy I am when I owe everybody on earth. I want who I am to reflect what I am. I want to grow up. I'm 35 years old, and I'm tired of being treated like I'm a little retarded kid. We laugh about it, but I mean, that's how they treat us, with disrespect, and I'm just with pity in their voices. I'm tired of being treated that way. That's the only way I can get a date. Pity. That's how I got Patty. I tell you. I did. I saw her in a conference in New York. Went up there and said, you wouldn't want to go out with me, would you? And she was just sick enough to say, yes, absolutely. No. Anyway, I went to the medicine cabinet, got a bunch of pills out, and tried to do the old off-a-rooney. I heard a voice about the time those pills hit my stomach that said, Chris, don't do this. Go back to AA. I get emails from all over the world, people asking me about that. Did you really hear a voice? You know, no, I've just been lying from the podium for 20 years. I don't know what to tell you. You know, guys, was it a voice? I don't know where the voice. I was looking in the ferret cage. Because, I mean, that was me and two stinky ferrets in that cage. I'm looking at them, checking them out. I live in a garage apartment, a little efficiency about the size of this podium. And there's nobody else in there but me. The voice never changed, it never varied, never yelled, never nothing. Chris, don't do this, go back to AA. And I made myself sick. I threw up. It scared me. And the next morning I heard the voice one more time, and I made a commitment. I went to the doctor to get some doggy downers because I can't detox without doggy downers. Y'all know what doggy, tranquilizers. I need something to keep me moving love. She knows what doggy downers are. I don't want any of that heavy stuff. I just want something to help me smooth. Anyway, I got to the doc, got some pills, and went to work because I had to go to work. If you don't work, you end up on the street. And some of us have been on the street. I work. Not very well sometimes, but I work. And I was running late, and I went to a meeting I'd never been to before. And it was a meeting's not even there now, but it was a notorious Big Book Thumper hangout is what it was supposed to. They had a bad rap there. And there was they had the rep of the old timers. They were jamming people. If you went over there to try to get a date, they would eat you alive. You'll follow? And I don't know about this sobriety deal, but I might at least get lucky. And I went to this room, and it was the same stuff. I walked in the back door of this meeting, and they were all laughing their butts off. And it was just like we were doing here, guys, 5 minutes before this meeting. Everybody's in here hugging and laughing, and they're clean, and they smell good, and you guys are, and I am filthy dirty. I've worked all day long, and I haven't bathed in 2 days, and I am not a happy camper, and I'm detoxing on top of that. And you want to come up here with your little happy Sunbeam for Jesus attitude, and I'm going to kill you. And I'm backing out, and this little 19-year-old girl gets slides between me and the door, and she hooks her finger in my belt loop. She says, sit down, cowboy. And she plops me down in a chair next to her. And I'm just looking at her like, who, what, what? Cowboy? And I don't think so. And I just, and she gets some paper towels and some coffee, and we start the meeting. And they go around, and the guys, y'all have heard me 1,000 times talk about this, but they talk about the good stuff. There was not one person talked about the war stories. They said, Let's share with this newcomer how our lives have gotten better as a result of working the steps. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you, I've been in AA for 7 years. I've never heard anything like this. I've heard, let's tell Chris how we got here, which means we're going to talk about your stupid war stories and everybody gets a shot at you. And they went around the room and they talked about the stuff that we all... They talked about getting your credit cards back, which I hadn't had for years. And they talked about getting in good relationships and buying cars and buying a house, and one little girl had gone back to school, and there was a guy in there that was sculpting, and he had some artwork, and he was doing, and it's just it's stuff like normal people may think, so what? And I'm thinking, this is another world. This is another world. Guys, all I wanted to do was just stop existing. It was survival. You know, every day. Just get up and don't go to jail and don't die, and then maybe tomorrow we can do this again. You know, I keep waiting for my circumstances out there to finally get better so I can win the lottery or do something, or Pamela Anderson will come through and save me from all of this terrible nightmare that's, you know, it ain't going to happen. I don't want to die, but I don't want to live the way I've been living. And these guys gave me the one thing I needed that night, guys. They gave me one big old dose of hope. Hope. When did it become so passe in Alcoholics Anonymous? So not cool to share hope with the newcomer. Because I've been in meetings, I guarantee you, when I left, it's like, oh my God, what the hell was that? Listen to somebody whine about their relationship for an hour? No. After the meeting, the old geezer asked me if I wanted to stay sober for good, not one day at a time. He said if I would ask me if I was done. And after some discussion, I said yes. He hugged my neck, and the next morning they were back on my doorstep knocking. They followed me home that night, make sure I got back. I was detoxing. And the next morning they snagged my butt and they hauled me back up to a meeting. And we went to a 10 o'clock meeting and went in the back and got on our knees and did a third step prayer. I'd been around AA, guys. There was none of this. Start from the beginning. Let's go. They qualified me that morning. They went over the deals about the control. What happened when I drank alcohol? Did I lose control sometimes? Drink more than I intended? How about choice? Were there times that you wanted to stop and couldn't stop? When you weren't drinking, did you have the power to not go back to it? Absolutely not. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. They qualified me. You're an alcoholic if you say you are. Horse. I can't cuss. Rubbish. That's nuts. That's how this fellowship got sick. We allowed people to do that. That's how this fellowship got sick. We allowed people to do that. We allowed them to come in that weren't alcoholic. We allowed them by the thousands to come in via treatment centers in the 80s. And they're sitting in our rooms right now and they're not alcoholics and they don't need to be here. And they're sharing the crap. And they can afford to share whatever they want to. They don't have to work the 12 steps. Their life doesn't depend on God. They don't have to have the spiritual experience. All they got to do is have the camaraderie. Some of you are grinding your teeth. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. But you think everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous is an alcoholic? You're living in a dream world if you're that naive. You can come into this fellowship and call yourself an alcoholic if you want to. But unless you fit the criteria with a phenomenon called craving and the mental obsession, you are not one of us. And if you're not one of us, stop trying to help those of us that are. Because you're killing us by the thousands. If you're sitting in a meeting telling people to just don't drink and go to meetings, shut up. Stop. How dare you? Why don't you write your own book and publish it? Why are you coming into the meetings and saying something that asinine? Show me in the book where it says that. Some of you are looking real uncomfortable. I'm so sorry. It was not my intention to do that. Some of you are murderers. Words have power. If you don't understand what you're talking about, shut up. Stop trying to be a junior therapist, everybody. Stop trying to be a junior doctor. Talk about what you know. How did you have a spiritual experience? Oh, I'm not sure I had a spiritual experience. Then shut up. Because we only have one message in this fellowship. One message. The spiritual experience. I get people every time I speak come up afterwards. I'm not sure I've had the spiritual experience. You probably haven't. Oh my God. I haven't talked about it yet, but it's like let this water heater over here, this radiator, come back here. Oh, I'm not sure if my tongue just got burnt off or not. This is ridiculous. I hear them out there. He's just so rough. Let me tell you what rough is. Rough is watching somebody come to about 3 or 4 meetings in a row and sit in the back and nod their head and avoid everybody in the fellowship, but never get engaged in the program. And then you find out 3 or 4 days later that he went back to the Flagstaff Motel and took a gun and blew his head off. That's rough. That's rough. Rough is getting an email from a guy that you worked with, was in treatment twice, that got involved in the fellowship, but never once engaged in the program. Never once worked all through the 12 steps. While everybody sat down because he had a lot of money and he was good looking and witty and backed up and said it's perfectly okay to walk through this without a sponsor and just look the other way while he didn't do what we asked him to do. As he tied the rope at Aspen and hung himself last week. That's rough. I'm going to go back to what I said a minute ago, folks. It's like if you want to come in here and just screw around, it's okay. But let's call it what it is. You're sitting in AA for months and months, and you've never worked the steps. Now, whose fault is that? Because it always gets dumped back on the alcoholic and the addict. It always gets dumped back on the newcomer. Well, he just didn't want it. The question boils down to, did he not want it? Or did somebody just not tell him? We got too many people calling in the middle of the night, you follow? And say, can you come down here and show me how to do this? Because now I'm ready to do this. And then we get them dusted. No, I can't do that now. I'll see you Tuesday night. But you see, by Tuesday night, the window of opportunity might have closed. How many of us, how... I look back at my 20 years of sobriety and I looked about that. What happens if I ended up at a different meeting that night, 20 years ago, November 13th, the Friday 13th? What happens if the people had been different? When Patty got to the fellowship after she got out of treatment and got back up here and was going to meetings with you people in here, what happens if she'd been in the room with different people? People that didn't give a rat's butt about God. They didn't want to talk about the 12 steps. They wanted to talk about their inner child and their feelings. They wanted to go light some candles and have bubble baths, but they didn't want to talk about finishing the hard work of making an inventory and doing the amends like we're supposed to. See, nobody gets let off the hook. Everybody in here, a lot of you guys in this room, you're carrying tons of baggage that has nothing to do with alcoholism and drug addiction. Let's call it for what it is. We can show you how to work with that too. We can get you connected. 20 years of sobriety, I know thousands of therapists. I know thousands of doctors. I know tens of thousands of lawyers. We can get you hooked up with all that other stuff. But you see, guys, here's the one thing I can do. Here's the one thing Chris Kramer can do. I can show you anybody. Nice little 20-year-old kid, buckaroo, young adult, sorry. You with me? I don't care. I don't care. Black, white, green, blue, gay, straight, Yankee, South, I don't care. Been to jail? Hadn't been to jail? I can show you how to have a spiritual experience. I don't have to have a lot in common with you. I only have to have one thing in common with you. It's called alcoholism. I'm a recovered alcoholic. A recovered alcoholic. I got to that group and we did a third step prayer that day and then went and got some food and came back and they gave me a notebook that said, Chris, just exactly what your response. Start writing the people that you would like to see dead. Here. Start. We didn't take the dictionary out. Let's look up the word resentment. Let's find out what it is. It was just guys. This is triage. The guy's bleeding out of every orifice he's got. Let's just stop the bleeding, okay? and we'll split hairs and look up words later. But right now, let's put some cold compress on that cut and let's, and that's exactly, and I started writing. 2 weeks later, I've got a completed 4-step and I have seen the truth about myself. I am goofy. And everything I've walked through, every problem that I've ever had out there, I volunteered for. And I got to see some truth. Guys, this is the best news that we can tell the newcomer. If you think that the bastards out there are what's your problem, you're dead. What if they never change? And I did a 4-step and looked at that and said, listen, as bad as this looks, I'm golden. Because I can fix this. I can take care of this. I can go make the amends. I'm going to tell you, and I started paying people back. I had to get a pot washer job. I was an executive chef at some of the nicest hotels and country clubs in Texas. And I'm washing pots at Texas Instruments to make money to make amends. You with me? A sponsor showed me how to do it. Chris, you're not making enough. You've got to pay this stuff off. Yeah, well, this guy at the meeting at noon said I could just make living amends. You can't. You got to pay them back, buddy. After that, you can make them living amends. Cool? Thank God for good, strong sponsorship. 2 weeks after I got back in this program, after trying to take my life, guys, I'm sitting on the tailgate of my truck and with a clear realization that the obsession to drink had been lifted. For the first time in my adult life, I did not want to drink. I did not want to eat pills. And if I'd have had a pound of cocaine drop in front of me, I wouldn't have done it. Not because I was afraid, because the 10th step promises had already started coming true in my life. I'd been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. And some of y'all in here, there, you're nodding your head. You're in that spot. And I'm going to tell you, some of you in here right now, I can assure you, are not in that spot. You're still irritable, restless, and discontent. The depression's still kicking your butt. You're bored to tears. You're full of fear and tension. And you're not happy camper. But you're not drinking one stupid long day at a time. You're not recovered yet. And the solution is to do what we're asking you to do. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir because so many of y'all look at that stack of books back there. I mean, the table groans under the weight. How cool is that? Big book meetings all over the country are being pulled off intergroup schedules. There's two groups in Dallas you can't take big books in because they don't want to hear about it. They want to hear how you feel today. You follow? Commentator in national television was doing Larry King not long ago. He's one of his cat. I like this guy too. I'm not going to mention his name. Y'all know who I'm talking about. He's supposed to be in recovery. Every time he does a talk, his talk show stuff on the radio and on TV, he talks about being in recovery. You with us? He talks about being a recovering alcoholic, which always sets the hackles up on my neck, which means that he's still sick. Thanks for sharing. Back a few months ago when all the girls, the celebrity girls, were getting in trouble, Lindsay and Brittany, and Brittany means me. Patty already said it would be okay. I think I can help her. Something about that little schoolgirl uniform that just, I don't know. His quote is on Larry King. He says, what's this guy saying? He says, what gets me, he's talking about these celebrity folks. He says, what gets me about these celebrity folks is we have a choice whether we're going to drink or not. Just get up and make the choice not to drink. It's that simple. You see, the opportunity to convey a message of what alcoholism and drug addiction really is was lost by somebody in our own fellowship. But somebody in our own fellowship, he didn't learn this from New York. He didn't get this information from treatment, or perhaps he did. But what allowed him to continue to kill people with that crap is our meetings. I don't have a choice. I'm 20 years sober. I don't have a choice whether I'm going to drink. I have a choice whether I'm going to stay connected to you. I have a choice whether I'm going to stay spiritually connected. Am I going to stay on the spiritual path or not? That's my only choice. If I choose not to because I'm too busy or because it's Little League season or I've got a relationship that's in the way, those are my choices. And I can choose to walk away from this any time. but the disease will come back and it will kick my butt. Make sense? Why is it that the people that are representing Alcoholics Anonymous out there in TV land are not even one of us? And we allow it. This has killed me. Somebody just sent it to me. We had this cat. I can't tell you his name. I guess he's not in the program. Anyway, he's a movie star out of California. But they're talking about so-and-so and so-and-so brings new focus on sober companions. This is a huge industry. This Doug guy. The companion. These are sober groups. Rent sponsors. How cool is this? Now listen, guys. A bunch of y'all I know well, we really screwed up. We should have come up with this idea a long time ago. I mean, this is a good... The companion, Charlie, we could make a myth. The companion costs $750 a day. But don't say, how bad do you want to stay sober? I mean, how important is this? I can just hear it. This is so-and-so, this bozo, who runs Sober Companion, an agency that helps addicts stay sober by staying with them at all hours, isn't employed by this guy. But listen, this is going good. But this is what the guy said. But the Sober Companion is usually best suited, for people who haven't been able to stick with their post-residential treatment and those who have to be in the real world and who have a life and have to earn a dollar. Who knew? I mean, that's me. I have to be in the real world. I have to earn a dollar. What I needed was a sober companion. Also goes on to say in here that if you want, it's an extra fee if you want me to sleep in the same bed. This guy said. Okay. I'm winding this down. Now follow me, because I've led you up to this. I'm not to just push you off the edge, but this is where the state of recovery's gone. We've gone through the stages. We've gone through aversion therapy, where everybody was puking and sinks trying to get well, and we've gone through lots of stuff to try to get well. Okay, now we're down to the deal where $750 a day, I can pay some bozo to walk around like a shadow and knock the alcohol out of my hand. Not counting the additional fee if I wanted to sleep with you. Patty and I we just creeped out thinking about it. We won't even go to bed and breakfasts, you know, those kind of deals, because it's just too closed in. We want to go be completely anonymous. Can you imagine some guy walking around? You all right in there? I just couldn't do it. I don't know. But we're willing to do this to stay sober. You with us? Now, why would a person like this? This is a world famous actor. You just come up here later and look at his picture if you want. Y'all know him. I didn't know him. Patty knew him because he's on People cover of People magazine. I didn't even know who the bozo was. That's how out of it I am. But here's this guy willing to do this when he could go to a good AA meeting, get involved in some fellowship with some loving people like you cats, and then get involved in a thing called the program, which will spiritually take him to a place where he can live free in his own skin and come and go as he pleases. And never has to hide from alcohol or dope again. But he's got to do something to get that. But it seems like it would be such a simpler thing to do to work 12 steps that were intended to be worked in 30 days than to tie yourself with somebody that's going to be your shadow the rest of your life. Sad. This guy's tried AA before. He says it didn't work. I believe he went to AA, but he never tried AA. I'll say it again. We've got people in this room right now saying they're in AA and they've never worked the 12 steps. I'm sorry. You're missing the gravy. You're missing the coolest thing about this. Out there working with other alcoholics, getting them through the steps quickly, watching their life ignite. Watching them kick butt and take names, and then going and getting another one, snagging those, and going to get. It's like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. That's what we're supposed to be teaching. The guys in 1987 instilled in me the first few days of my reemergence into this fellowship the need to continue to carry this message to the newcomer. He wasn't saying, you need to get sober so you can have a better life. He was saying, you need to get sober so you can turn around and go help him. You have a job. That's what we do. That's what we do. The cats that travel, the speak, that record, all the stuff that we do. Every Tuesday night, y'all come into group. Saturday night, come into group. The guys respond. We do this because there's a sense of responsibility. It's the third legacy. It's called service. That's what we do. And it's pretty proportionate to the amount of peace and love that I get out of this world. I have got a cool life. When I got sober in 1987, folks, I was taking 7 pills a day. Antidepressants, anti-anxiety, adult attention deficit disorder. You with us? I'm taking lots of pills. 7 pills a day. One of them, I'm still not sure what it was. But I took it religiously. But when I got sober, what I did was find a doctor, and through a doctor's care, I weaned myself off those medications. Those medications were causing me more harm than the alcohol was causing me. I'm not knocking medication. I'm saying, but for some of us, it was never intended to be taken long term. And I detoxed off those medications. Because I've had a spiritual experience, we stopped treating symptoms like we were talking about earlier, and now all of a sudden what we're trying to do is just treat the spiritual malady, and the symptoms will go away, and the depression will lift, and we start getting excited about our lives. Y'all cool with that? That's what we're about. But a sense of responsibility. I got to say this and shut. Everybody wants to look at the person next to them and say, well, that's your job. Because you don't understand. I've got kids at home. Because you don't understand. I'm having trouble making ends. Everybody's got a reason that they won't get in the trench to help out. And every one of those reasons are good. I understand that. I'm not knocking any of them. But it's all an excuse. Don't you think God knows that? So the question is, why don't you just do what you can do? Everybody in this room's got a special talent. Everybody in this room's got a special talent that the person sitting next to you doesn't have. We've all got the ability to share the message of hope out of the book. Nobody gets off that one. But every one of us has got special talents that we can use. Sometimes it's organization in the back. Sometimes it's the recording. Sometimes it's the treasury. Sometimes it's the money. Find your niche in AA. Maybe it's setting chair. I don't know what it's going to be. But I know this. If you don't have a job in this fellowship, you're not going to stick. You're not going to stay. For the 3 that I haven't pissed off, let me say this. I know it's perfectly okay, this idea of keep coming back. It works if you work it. Anybody can come back in, and I'm absolutely with that. That's not the idea of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous was a fellowship of men and women that got together and figured out how to get sober for keeps, for good, for the long haul. If you've got 6 months of sobriety, don't be so asinine to think that you can get it back again and that you can go back out. Find your niche. Take your chair. Sit all the way down in the bastard. You follow? Not on the edge. You're going to leave when things don't go your way or when things don't quite... Commit. Not one day at a time. The book says we live life one day at a time. Commit. And you'll be amazed at what you can walk through. Because with that commitment, God's already out ahead of you, cleaning the way. And that's been my experience. When I stopped treating this like a band-aid, I got in there as a life-changing event, this thing called the 12 steps, my life's never been the same. Never been the same. You guys email me by the thousands. I know how many dozens and dozens of you in here that I know. What an honor that is. You guys keep emailing. Keep in touch. If you ever need some help, you ever need some problem, you ever go to a meeting and get shot, y'all follow? Listen, big book thumpers take all the shots. We take all the sarcasm. You need some, call me on the phone. I'll get in the middle of it. I'll encourage you, just like you encouraged me. This thing called sobriety is the bomb, guys. Stick with us. Thank you very much.
All right. I want to thank Rich for coming here tonight. Chris, thank you so much.